Welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. This is show number 6 in our series. Today is Saturday, June 13th, 2020. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shows. Good morning, I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising, a local advertising agency. I'm a native Tucsonan. I worked in the media for almost 18 years, and for the last 28 years, I've had my own ad agency, Davidson Advertising. As host of the show, Alan and I are committed to serving you, our listening audience, with ideas, strategies, and techniques for building, marketing, or improving your business. We created this show to try and help you and your business's contribution of getting the economy up and running again. Through this entire series of programs, we'll discuss the latest news and also interview leaders in our community each week that will share with you their experience, their knowledge, and their stories of struggles and success.
And hello, my name's Alan McCloskey. My wife and I run our own local chain of shoe stores, Alan's Shoes, since 1982 in Tucson. This show, Back to Business with Rob and Alan, is about encouraging our listening audience to bring their A-game to the job of dealing with the current situation. And today, we've got a great topic that's sure to excite the mind and energize you. The topic is crisis management. So our topic of the week will be covered in depth in segment 4 of the show. Here's a preview, though.
Crisis management is the process by which an organization deals with a disruptive and unexpected event that threatens to harm the organization or its stakeholders. The study of crisis management originated with large-scale industrial and environmental disasters in the 1980s.
Rob, would you agree the coronavirus pandemic, the shutdown of the business, the uncertainty, the layoff of staff, the possible resurgence of the pandemic, the somewhat lackluster return of the consumer to the stores and restaurants, and...
Alan, let me stop you there. Yes, 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 this qualifies as a genuine crisis. A businessman needs to manage his response to this crisis.
So what we're going to do is talk about crisis management in segment 4 of the show and give some useful information to our listeners out there. Rob and I are trying to bring... We're trying to bring to the surface A-game techniques, strategies, tactics that every business owner needs to pull out of his toolkit. Each business person needs to activate obvious or hidden talents. Talents, well, yes, they're talents. Assets like energy, excitement, a can-do, will-do attitude, drive, enthusiasm, flexibility, an open mind to learn from others, a willingness to accept and embrace change, self-awareness, and yet again, Rob, another new asset to add to the growing list, crisis management techniques.
I hope our audience can see where we're going with this, Alan.
Based on the premise that every business person is a leader, we need to recharge their batteries and reactivate skills that many have held dormant for many months, for years, forever. Let's bring those assets and talents to the surface. That's playing an A game. Hey, Rob, before you introduce our guests, today, I want to remind our listeners what they're listening to. Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Our business website is b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com.
We've begun a transition to include small business spotlight segments in our program. So our initial launch is today. We've decided that 2 small business spotlight segments will occur. We're going to introduce our first one in a few minutes. Our guests today are Edward Silverberg from S. Silverberg & Sons Jewelers and Bruce Minkus from Minkus Advertising Specialties. But Alan, before we go into that, there's an interesting article I'd like to share with our listeners that you found. The headline is Representative Ben McAdams outraged over Treasury Department's refusal to disclose Paycheck Protection loan information. Representative Ben McAdams said he's outraged by Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin's decision to withhold information on who received loan money from the $500 billion Paycheck Protection Program. The Paycheck Protection Loan Program was approved by Congress earlier this year to help small businesses keep paying their employees during shutdowns caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Mnuchin said during a congressional hearing earlier this week that the names of the businesses that received the loans and the amount they received is proprietary information. What part of it is taxpayer money does Mnuchin understand? According to McAdams, these tax dollars are meant to help mainstream businesses in cities and towns across the country. We know that this is not what is happening based on news accounts of large companies getting these loans while small business owners were left out in the cold. Transparency, not secrecy, is the only way to keep faith with citizens that their money is getting to those for whom it was intended. When the protection program first rolled out, it was reported that large companies such as Shake Shack received millions in loans intended for small businesses, prompting calls for more transparency and oversight. McAdams went on to say the Government Accountability Office, which oversees how taxpayer money is used, hasn't received data as requested from the Treasury regarding the loan program, even though Mnuchin said he would turn it over during the hearing. This raises troubling questions on the agency's lack of transparency and accountability, according to McAdams. So another issue, Alan, with the Paycheck Protection Program. This thing's been going on for quite some time.
Yeah, I can't help but think that by now, every business owner out there should either know about the CARES Act, have applied for the CARES Act, has received their CARES Act money. But on the other side, I'm thinking that maybe for some reason, somebody hasn't done it.
Well, and some people, you know, some of the hoops to jump through seemed quite high for some people, and they might have just said, well, I just don't want to bother with this. And others, you know, when it comes to borrowing money in their businesses, not something they've ever done. You know, it's going to banks and working with these kinds of companies is not something they feel comfortable with. So I'm sure there's a lot of companies out there that were afraid of it. I know there's still some monies available from the second round. And we've spoken about this several times during the last couple of weeks. But if anybody has any questions about the Paycheck Protection Program, feel free to give us a call. Our phone number here is 790-2040. This is Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI 1030, The Voice. Now, we've got a guest coming up in a couple of minutes here, Alan, and I'd like to tell our listeners about him. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back with him. Our first guest today is Edward Silverberg, president of S. Silverberg & Sons Jewelers. S. Silverberg & Sons is a retail jewelry business with a history that spans over more than 80 years in Tucson. They're a family-owned business that has grown and operated over three generations. After being in downtown for nearly 60 years, they moved to their current store located at the Plaza Williams Center. They're a full-service store specializing in fine jewelry, custom designing, appraisals, and repairing of jewelry. And I remember as a kid, Alan, going downtown on Saturdays to the Fox Theater, walking by their original store on Congress Street and seeing Edward's grandfather and his dad and his uncle working in the store. I mean, this is a long, long time Tucson business, and it's great to be able to talk about them today. So we'll be back with Edward in a couple of minutes, and we'd like to take a break right now. This is Back to Business. Alan, maybe you could tell us.
Catch us on the internet, b2btucson.com. You're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan, KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising, 629-9555, or call online at 790-2040.
For over 37 years, Allen's Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen's Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propre, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff, and a vast inventory of sizes and widths is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR. 298-DOOR. ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
need a plumber, call Al Coronado Plumbing. Featuring our five crown service. We charge by the job, not the hour. There are never any unpleasant surprises. As everyone knows, emergencies happen at the worst time. That's why we answer our phones 24/7. And at Al Coronado Plumbing, there's never an overtime charge. You pay the same regardless of when we do the work.
Al Coronado Plumbing, the name you come to trust. Our five-pound service keeps things running.
Our work is guaranteed up to 5 years. Call 323-7848.
Al Coronado Plumbing. Our five-pound service keeps things running.
Call 323-7848. ROC number 289733.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Alan Shoes, and this is Back to Business with Rob and Alan.
Our first guest this morning is Edward Silverberg. He's with us today from S. Silverberg & Sons Jewelers. Edward, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Edward, a few moments ago I was talking about when I was a kid going downtown and seeing your grandfather working in the store on Congress. Maybe you could give us a bit of a history about your company and your family.
Sure. Well, you're right. My grandfather, Saul Silverberg, started our business in 1937 on Congress Street downtown. He was a trade jeweler before that, working for other stores doing jewelry work, and decided to go out on his own, opened up his first store, very small. In fact, we have a history board in our store that sort of shows a timeline of our business's growth. And I think the comment I hear the most from customers when they look at these pictures is, I can't believe your grandfather's store was only 6.5 feet wide. But that's what it was. It was like a little cubbyhole. And that's how he started. He had a bench in his store. He was a really skilled craftsman, made a lot of beautiful jewelry and did work for other stores before he opened his own place. And that was his decision to not only work for other stores, which he continued to do, but had his doors open to the public so that he could start serving retail customers, not just working on a wholesale level. And maybe in the early 50s, my uncle Herb Silverberg and my father Bernard Silverberg got involved, and they started working with my grandfather, expanded it into more of a full-scale business where we did more than just jewelry repair and refurbishing, and started doing a lot of our own jewelry design and selling at a retail level, and also doing all the other services that we offer: repair, appraisals. For the most part, became more of a full-scale store, and continued to do that for a little while in the same small store, but then moved to larger stores through the years downtown, and actually expanded 4 different times, never in more than one location, but we kept on getting into bigger stores square footage wise. First 2 stores were on Congress Street, the second 2 stores were on Pennington Street, and then in 1988 we moved out of the downtown area after having been there just over 50 years, and we moved to our current store, which is on Broadway and Craycroft. And I had gotten involved in our business probably 3 years before we moved out of downtown, but this is where we've been since. So we're a full-scale retail jewelry store specializing in fine jewelry. In our industry, fine jewelry would be considered precious metals, precious stones, things like gold and platinum, diamonds, of course, precious colored stones. Many people have heard of, like, emeralds, sapphires, rubies, and other exotic stones. We kind of do it all, but that's what we do now. We are also involved in a lot of custom designing, and we also cater to customers who are trying to get things refurbished and maybe hand things down within the family. We do a lot of repair work, redesign, and for the most part, that's our business. We're a full-scale retail jeweler.
Edward, I understand that you are a certified gemologist. What is that?
So when you become a gemologist, whether it's almost a one-year course in residence when you attend the Gemological Institute of America, which is now in Carlsbad, California. When I went, it was in Santa Monica. You study diamond grading, colored stone grading, colored stone identification, and you learn a lot about jewelry craftsmanship and all the things tied to our business, mostly from a gemological angle. But when you complete this course in residence, which I did, after I finished at the U of A, I went to the Gemological Institute of America in Santa Monica, you become a, what they call a graduate gemologist. And if you don't want to or can't do the course in residence, they also offer a correspondence course. Now it's online, and it takes about, because many people are doing it while they're also working full-time, it takes about 3 years. So you have those options. But when you do complete the course, take a lot of tests. It's a pretty intense course. When you go there in residence, it's 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But you pass all the tests and you do the lab work that they require, you become a graduate gemologist.
And the benefit for your customers at your store that you have this designation, and the benefit is that you're going to grade the stones correctly? Is that the benefit, or is there some other benefit?
Well, yes. It gives your participation in what you're doing for your customers a lot more credibility because you have a background in gemology. But most people who get their jewelry appraised is when it comes up a lot. They want to know what your credentials are. When you're selling jewelry or helping people design things, I don't get the question very often, are you also a gemologist? But but it doesn't hurt, and it does really build a foundation. When I went to the Gemological Institute of America, the average class size was about 20 people from all walks of the industry. Some of them were wholesalers, a lot of people from places outside the United States. Some people were not hobbyists, but they were fascinated with gems, and they went for that reason. They were kind of retired. But most people were actively involved in the business, and they were there to boost their training. And of course, when you attain the title, it's important in our industry, I think, to have gemologists. I don't think you have to be one to be actively involved in the jewelry business or even be good at it, but it certainly helps.
Well, we're going to certify you in something else right now. We're going to certify you as being a graduate of the first phase of the coronavirus. And we're going to ask, what experience have you and your business had with the coronavirus in the last couple of months?
Sure. First of all, it was, I think we were all in the same boat as people in business, and maybe you can say the entire population in one way or another experienced things, but as a person in business, it was an ordeal. Things were moving very quickly. It was an avalanche of challenges. And, you know, before we knew it, stores around us were starting to tell me that they were going to close. We made a decision pretty early on as far as the timeline was running. We closed our store on March 20th, and then we continued to stay closed and reopened on May 19th. It was tough. You know, I think we've talked about this with other people in business, and the total paralysis of the business, something you never even could make up. Just had to close your doors, followed what the governor of Arizona ordered in terms of staying closed and the whole quarantine aspect, and it was tough. We had a little bit of business that was pending before we closed, and we tried to keep those sales alive, and we would come in with our jeweler with our doors were locked, and we finished a few things. But for the most part, we did not conduct business. We did come in and do some paperwork, but the doors were locked, and the public wasn't coming to our store anyway. It's kind of interesting. When I'd come to our store and do some catch-up work, paperwork, some final projects with our jeweler, I noticed that the phone was not ringing and people were not knocking on the door. So I don't know that if we had been opened, it would have made sense anyway. But and it wasn't the right thing to do, you know, in view of the health risks. But I think people just, you looked at the streets in Tucson, people weren't driving, people weren't shopping, except for when they went to maybe pick up the essentials, jewelry, groceries.
Sure. Food.
Prescriptions. But we were able to keep our staff, and we hoped that things would move in the right direction. And when I say keep our staff, you know, we kept our people on payroll, and we just were crossing our fingers and hoping for the best, hoping for things to get better. And it took 2 months, but we did reopen.
So what's going on right now in the business? You opened back up on May 19th, and tell me how things are going.
Well, I would say if I were to look back and try to project how things would go, which was an unknown, I think if anything, things are a little better, which is good. I feel like it was a frightening period where I thought, gee, what if we open and nobody comes into the store and we, you know, feel like business is gone, at least for the time being. But it did pick up. The first few days were a lot of things that people would hold on to and save until we opened, like minor repairs, watch batteries, a lot of stuff like that where we seemed very busy, but it wasn't really a lot of big business. So things are picking up, and I think that we feel lucky that we have a product, unlike some businesses that have had to close, that we don't have a crowd of people in our store. We don't have to. People, I think, still feel comfortable about coming in. We aren't a store like, Target.
Yeah, you're not like a grocery store or something.
Shoulder-to-shoulder people,
right.
Yeah, and you have to form a line. And so for the most part, we're able to control that aspect of it.
Have you done anything else to help your clients and your staff as far as protection?
Well, we do wear masks. We don't require it if a customer comes in and doesn't want to, but we keep masks on. I've noticed that when people come into our store, a high percentage of the time they do have a mask. We clean things kind of on a furious level, constantly wiping things down, whether it's our computers or countertops where our customers sit. And I think people feel comfortable coming in here. They know that we're trying our best and being diligent in terms of trying to keep it safe and healthy, clean. But there's this feeling that I think the jury's still out. I don't know if you would agree that we just will have to see how things go. We've had this recent spike in Arizona where the cases have elevated, and we just are hoping that it doesn't continue moving in that direction. But for now, we're just taking it one day at a time.
Yeah, we're in uncharted waters here, and every day is a new day. So,
no question.
You know, we just have to be resilient and be willing to make changes.
Absolutely. Nothing is, I think, predictable. We have to kind of be cognizant of how things just unfold in a way that you sometimes can't in any way predict. And then also, of course, it's not something that the health aspect of it, which is the most important. You want everybody to stay healthy and safe. We just...
Absolutely.
Edward, I want to thank you for being on our show. We're going to have to break pretty soon for a hard break for the news. But thank you, Edward, and I appreciate your business. I want everyone to visit S. Silverberg & Sons Jewelers. Their location is at Broadway and Craycroft in the Plaza at Williams Center. Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, it's Rob Davidson at 629-9555, Davidson Advertising. This is Back to Business with Rob and Alan, KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice.
Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is a wide-width specialty store located at 7366 North Oracle Road, about a block north of Ina. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes focuses on wide and extra wide widths of men's and women's shoes. The best selection of wide width shoes in Tucson. You'll find some brands in this location that aren't carried at our stores, such as Softwalk, Aravon, SAS, Trotters, and Easy Spirit. We also carry the best selection of wide widths from both Brooks and New Balance. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff, and a vast inventory of sizes and widths is the Allen Shoes promise. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
ROC 291-200.
Water damage. It happens. And if it hasn't happened to you, it will.
Steamy concepts.
Steamy concepts.
Toilets overflow, pipes leak, and roofs fail, all causing water damage.
Steamy concepts.
Steamy concepts.
And mold? It thrives in the hidden water damage crevices of your home.
Steamy concepts.
Steamy concepts.
So who do you call? You guessed it. Steamy Concepts. And that's who plumbers, insurance agents, and realtors call, because they know that Steamy Concepts will take great care of their customers. Steamy Concepts has been voted Best Mold Restoration Contractor by the Arizona Daily Star's Reader's Choice Awards 4 years running. Steamy Concepts accepts all homeowners insurance, and we have easy payment options.
If you ever have a water or mold damage problem in your home, make sure you only call the local trusted mold pros at Steamy Concepts for a free no obligation assessment.
Check us out online at steamyconcepts.com.
Don't get steam, call Steamy instead at 574-9200.
Water is the essence of life. Doesn't your family deserve the best? Give your family the best with the drinking water system from WaterTech. Our systems will provide you and your family with clean, healthy water, up to 25 gallons per day. A soft water system from WaterTech will help protect your plumbing, fixtures, will eliminate hard water minerals, and make your dishes and glasses sparkle. Give your family the gift of water from WaterTech.
WaterTech.
Providing service after the sale.
Since 1967.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947. Go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey. My wife and I own and operate Allen Shoes in Tucson.
Our second guest today is Bruce Minkus. He's with us today from Minkus Advertising Specialties. Minkus Advertising Specialties is a full-service company offering a wide range of promotional products. Their family business was started in 1955 and remains in the family today. Part of their longevity and success can be attributed to providing quality advertising ideas at fair prices. And welcome Bruce Minkus to our program. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you, Rob. Good to be here, and congratulations on your show. I've listened, and you're doing a great job, and I think it's a great program for Tucson. It's so important.
Thank you, Bruce. We appreciate that.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on.
Oh, our pleasure. Bruce, why don't you give our listeners a little idea of your business, the history, how long you've been around, and what kinds of things you're doing?
Well, happy to. Our parents got married, moved out here from Illinois in the 1950s, moved to Tucson. My father had asthma, which a lot of people back then were moving to Tucson for the dry weather. So they moved out here. My father was in the dry cleaning business. And so he wanted to open up a business. They met some people that were selling an existing advertising specialty business. They made a deal, and that happened in 1955. And here we are today. So is it my both my mom and dad worked in the business. My mom was had a background in the insurance industry, so she was really good with, you know, the paperwork and the office procedures. And of course, my dad was in the field and selling and and taking care of that. And then over the years, as I mean, we grew with the town. I mean, I think when they moved out here in 1955, I think the population was around 25,000 people, if you can imagine. They lived in a home in the Broadway, Alvernon area, and I think at the time, in Tucson, the Broadway, it was a dirt road after Swan. So, you know, they were here, you know, been here a long time and enjoyed the growth of Tucson. So.
And you and your brother came into the business when?
I came into the business basically right out of high school. I started working in the business. My brother was in the car business, and he came in about, basically time-wise, I think around 1974, 1975 is when I started, and my brother joined the company. My father passed away in 1978, and my brother joined the company in either 79 or 80, somewhere in that area. So we've been together a long time.
It's great to hear from longtime Tucson businesses. There's been many of them, and we're doing everything we can to keep them around.
Both Rob and I...
I think your show is an important part of that, too, so congratulations on that again.
You know, Bruce, both Rob and I have known you for many, many years, and we know Minkus Advertising is the place to buy great advertising specialties, but also it's a great place to buy flags, which is there a resurgence in flag activity right now?
You know, there is a little bit. I think whenever you get into these, the protests and all that stuff, I think it tends to create a little bit more patriotism and stuff like that. Of course, obviously, we're in flag season now with Memorial Day and, you know, Flag Day around the corner, July 4th and all of that. So I think there is, of course, obviously a political season is beneficial for that. You know, my parents, when they bought the business, it was promotional products was not what it is today. So you had to supplement it with a number of things. They also, so flags was a big part of that. We've always kept, stayed in the flag business because it's a big part of promotional, promoting also. And so we've kept that. But it's funny, other products that they had back then, it was I can't even think some of the things that just don't even exist anymore. But flags have held on, and the business remains pretty solid today.
So what kind of experience are you and your business having dealing with the coronavirus?
Well, in our office, we've basically gone with the CDC protocols, and, you know, if someone comes in and we're trying to keep the social distancing. And fortunately, we're more of an office in a store. We don't have lots and lots of people like a grocery store might have, but we're cleaning things a lot more. You know, we're being a lot more conscious of cleaning, especially when people come in or touching. So we're doing that. We have masks available if someone comes in and they're uncomfortable and they want a mask. So we have those available. We give to our customers. So basically, I think we're doing pretty much what everybody else is doing. This is a whole new world for all of us, and we're just trying to, keep the customers happy, and whatever we need to do to make that happen, we'll do it. So I do believe we're sort of seeing the end of this, and I think they're talking about now. I hear rumors about maybe a vaccine coming out or a cure, and hopefully that'll help, and we can get back to some sense a little bit more normalcy. But it's been a unique challenge, that's for sure.
How has the worldwide pandemic affected your supply chain?
In certain products, it's affected it tremendously, like hand sanitizer. We've always sold, a lot of hand sanitizer. It's just I think people just use it, but there was such a run on it. We've had orders that we can't even get processed right now, but that's starting to come back through. It's just, but that's been one of the more memorable ones. But other than that, things are going pretty well. The pandemic shut down a number of factories, especially. It didn't so much affect things, I think, in Arizona. I think we're pretty lucky to be in Arizona from that regard. But vendors in New York obviously weren't getting anything out. A lot of back east suppliers were affected. And all of our stuff is normally ordered and made as you order it. It's not on the shelf. So there have been some delays in getting things done. But overall, I think I definitely see things are moving forward and getting back to some sense of normalcy. But it's a very good question, Rob.
how has this affected some of your clients, because you're like me, you're advertising specialties. I'm in the advertising business. We're kind of similar but different in a lot of cases. So how has this affected your clientele?
Well, I think obviously certain industries have really been impacted, and my heart goes out to them. I think being in the restaurant business, I think, you know, college, obviously the U of A, even though it's not technically a business, but, you know, shutting down sports and the restaurants have taken a huge hit. But there are, you know, other businesses, like you know, certain industries like pharmaceuticals and things like that are still, you know, doing fairly well. But it's definitely, anytime you have something like this, it's going to affect, you know, all businesses. But it's just one of those things. I think we're all trying to ride it out and ride through. And I know I'm positive better times are on the horizon, and we will get through this, and we will all survive. And maybe a little break did us all some good. Who knows?
You know, I was wondering, Bruce, do you have any favorite customers? You know, someone in retail. Maybe in the shoe business.
Yeah. There's no business like shoe business, right, Alan?
Remember that time? It might have been 25, 26, 27 years ago when, you know, younger than we are right now, we first met, and I was wearing a Minnie Mouse costume, and you thought I was a nut. My question for you is, have things really changed?
Well, obviously not, Alan. Now you're having a radio show, so how nutty are you? Absolutely. No, ever since I met you, I've been a big fan. You're quite a character, and you're a lot of fun, and you make life worth living. You really do.
You know that I'm a fan of yours, because I really do feel I'm your best customer, because we love your stuff. I mean, the stuff that we buy from you, it's not necessarily as, it's very creative, but I mean, we buy your stuff because our customers just love it.
Yeah.
And they love to give away, we love to give away free stuff, because we're not into discounting. We'll discount our clearance goods, but we'd rather give extra added value to a customer. And you don't know how many people would come back in and say, I really need another jar opener with your name on it. Okay, or a flashlight, and we have bought your stuff, obviously, for decades.
We have coasters all over our house, Alan Chew's coasters, so they work perfectly for Minkus Advertising.
Vendors come in, vendor reps come in, and they ask for the stuff that we give away from you. So I appreciate, Bruce, I appreciate your participation in the show. I want to mention Minkus Advertising again, their location on 22nd Street, east of Gold, and their website at Minkus Advertising. Thank you very much. Give us the address of your website, Bruce.
It's www.minkus.com.
That's M-I-N-K-U-S.
M-I-N-K-U-S.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Bruce.
Bruce, thanks a lot.
Hey,
be well.
Thank you, and thank you for your business, and you definitely are my favorite customer, no question.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay,
catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. Next week's guest is Jonathan Rothschild, former mayor of Tucson and a well-respected attorney in Tucson. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising, 629-9555. You're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Allen, KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice, or call in line 790-2040. Please come back after our commercial break.
For over 37 years, Allen Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propay, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff, and a vast inventory of sizes and widths is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947, go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
Water is the essence of life. Doesn't your family deserve the best? Give your family the best with the drinking water system from WaterTech. Our systems will provide you and your family with clean, healthy water, up to 25 gallons per day. A soft water system from WaterTech will help protect your plumbing, fixtures, will eliminate hard water minerals, and make your dishes and glasses sparkle. Give your family the gift of water from WaterTech.
WaterTech.
Providing service after the sale.
Since 1967.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner-operator of Alan Shoes. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
So let's talk about the big topic of the week, crisis management. Alan, what is crisis management?
Crisis management is the application of strategies designed to help an organization deal with a sudden and significant negative event. A crisis can occur as a result of an unpredictable event or an unforeseeable consequence of some event that has been considered as a potential risk.
Can you break down crisis management for us, Alan?
Yeah, there are three phases, Rob, of crisis management. As a process, crisis management is not just one thing. Crisis management can be divided into phases such as 1, pre-crisis, 2, crisis response, and 3, post-crisis. The pre-crisis phase is concerned with prevention and preparation.
But Alan, I heard there are 5 stages of crisis management. You just said there are 3.
Well, there's 3 phases, and within one phase, there's 5 stages, Rob. So those stages are pre-crisis, crisis... Denial, the problem isn't that bad is what you're saying in stage 1. Stage 2 is containment. Containment plays out in 1 or 2 forms. Stage 3 is shame mongering. Stage 4 didn't print on this script, Rob, so I'm going to have to read stage 5, which is the crisis gets fixed.
Alan, I might be catching on, but why is this so important?
Crisis management planning isn't only about being better equipped to effectively respond to specific incidents. Developing a crisis management plan also helps teams identify potential threats as they plan and game out the task, communications, and information they'll need to deal with those threats.
Can you tell us anything about this entire area of business management, Alan?
Well, what I can tell you is that there are many, many, many different areas of crisis. So they're not just pandemics. So there's 1, technological crises, 2, financial crises, 3, natural crises, 4, a crisis of malice, 5, a crisis of deception, 6, confrontational crises, 7, a crisis of organizational misdeeds, 8, workplace violence. So the coronavirus, well, this is a natural crisis. It also has financial crisis written all over it.
We also have malice crisis part of this, too, with the protests that have been going on and these businesses that were ransacked and looted, so that's part of it also a little bit.
I would say that they're a byproduct, but maybe they're not directly related to the coronavirus thing. Maybe they because of the coronavirus, it allowed people to who were out of work or maybe not out of work, but just fed up with everything going on, Rob, it allowed them to exhibit the malice part of the crisis part. So if we define these separately and we look at them as separate issues, it's probably more helpful in dealing with crisis management if we did that than if we lump it all together.
Right, 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 right.
So let's talk about communications a little bit. This is perhaps the most important skill needed when dealing with crisis management. And we talked about communication in prior shows. And then adaptability is another leadership skill to best manage a crisis. And we talked about that. We all love when things go exactly as planned. That'd be great. I mean, if I could predict my business year in and year out, if I could predict what sales I'm going to have, how many employees are needed, the resources needed, the right merchandise and the right size, width, color, and everything. I mean, I wouldn't even have to really even work, would I?
It'd be a piece of cake.
And now we all realize that that's not how business goes. Business goes that there's lots of unpredictable things that happen each and every day. And now there's so many things happening as a result of this crisis that it seems to me and my friends that every day's work is like what used to occur in at least a week. And then, of course, everything that occurs in a week now is what used to occur in at least a month. And so the problem is if you don't have those skills necessary to deal with crisis, if you can't separate all these issues and bring all your A game, as we've been talking about, to the surface, you got a problem. And now there's other leadership skills that you need to bring into play here because self-control is one of those. I mean, it's really easy. You're probably like this too, Rob. It's really easy when something goes wrong in a business to be out of control, to start yelling and screaming. And my wife would tell you, I never do that. I'm never out of control, never yell, never, well, okay. I do. But it seems to me that tempers are flared, emotions are flared.
People are on edge.
People are on edge. And so self-control is one of those leadership skills that you need to help manage a crisis. And then it intertwines with relationship management. It's not just me and my wife. It's me and the relationship I have with my employees. Because if they get fed up with how I'm talking to them, how I'm treating them, whatever, I mean, they may walk.
Exactly. And they're going to react to you. And that's not a good thing if you're flying off the handle and screaming at them all the time.
I try not to do that. I promise you.
I'm sure you don't. I've known you for many years, and I know that's not your style, but it seems like every day there's a new crisis lately, something new to deal with.
Well, crisis managers are responsible for planning and implementing the response to a major threat to a business. Now, it'd be great if every employer out there could afford to hire an individual that their only job is crisis management. But all the business people I know, they had a hard time bringing back all of their staff. And I know that there's people that did bring back all of their staff. Many couldn't because they're doing less business. So they're people in their office or other people in their organization, they can't afford to support them all because they're doing less business, let alone hire someone just involved in crisis management. And that's kind of what our show's about. You as the leader of your business, you're going to have to do more things right now. You're going to have to really be involved in your financial management. Maybe you can't afford as many accounting staff or receiving staff as you used to. You're going to have to be involved in human resource management. Crisis management is part of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I think a lot of people are going to have to go back to their business plan and retool that to a certain degree because we're in a new age. Everything's different than when you started your business.
Well, you and I were talking about this before the show. Rob and I come in here well before the show starts and we, you know, talk to each other so that we are sort of the same mind frame and so that we're covering the issues that happen. And there's a new economic formula needed. We just don't know what it's going to be because business volume is not quite predictable yet. You've been back to business. You're a little worried about whether there's going to be another resurgence of this coronavirus as a result of the initial stage or as a result of something coming into the fall. And uncertainty builds into the overall theme here. And it's hard to predict right now. It's hard to say, this is how I'm going to run my business moving forward, but it's certainly going to be different, Rob.
Because how do you go and buy for the future, Alan? You guys buying for many seasons in advance, so planning ahead is very, very difficult.
Right now in the shoe business, we're all asking each other. We're getting on internet forums and phone calls, and we're trying to say, are we going to buy for the fall? What are you buying? How are you treating that? And actually, we buy 6 to 9 months in advance sometimes. So we're starting to talk about looking at goods that aren't even going to come in, Rob, until January, February, March, April next year, maybe a little bit even later. And we got to plan that out. And like, how do you do that? And if you don't plan it out, is the manufacturer going to have it when you need it? You know, and so that's a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, how much risk can you take and how much flexibility of the vendor can you anticipate that if it's, you don't need it, will they adjust it? Will they adjust sizes? Will they substitute? Will they cancel without penalty? A lot of unknowns.
And plus, will they even have the goods when you need them, right? Because there's supply chain issues there, too.
Let's just think of some other areas, which we've all read about in the last day or two, where the city or state said, you know, I knew you were going to open up your restaurant tomorrow, but guess what? We need you to wait another week. That's what happened in an area of Oregon yesterday. Those guys had already bought their food. They're perishable items. In my business, while we do have obsolescence, you know, if we bought those shoes and we have to wait a week to sell them, to start opening up again, it's not a bit outrageous ask of us. But a restaurant, that's a big ask.
Absolutely, because these, they're dealing with perishable goods. Absolutely.
So here we have another show coming to an end. We appreciate your participation. Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's B2B, Tucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. If you're a retailer, a restaurant owner, a businessman, or just someone just interested in business, this is the show for you. It's Back to Business with Alan and Rob. Oh, excuse me. Back to Business with Rob and Alan.
Thank you.
KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice. This has been Alan McCloskey. This is
Rob Davidson. And next week, our guest is going to be former Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, who will be speaking to us about legal issues. Jonathan's a very, very good lawyer in Tucson, so we're looking forward to having him with us.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. Have a great week and be well, everyone.